Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. My name is Brian Hess, and today I am joined by Stephen Wakefield and Abby Weldon.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Here we are. Great.
Welcome back. I'm excited for this episode. And actually, before we get into it, I'm going to ask you guys a question.
Oh.
Do you have a favorite Bible verse?
Oh.
I know that can be a tough one.
Yeah. I have a couple I like.
Sure.
Yeah, I like Philippians, I think it's 4:13, for God is working in you to both will and to work for his good pleasure.
Nice.
I like the thought that God is, like, it takes the pressure off of you to do what God has called you to do, and God's, like, already working that in you.
Okay.
I like that a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know where it is in Scripture. There's a verse that talks about... And I want to say maybe it's Proverbs, but I could be wrong.
The whole chapter of Proverbs 31 just really speaks to me.
Do you like in the Bible, like the Bible, like the chapters in there? I love those. But it says the grass withers and the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever.
Yeah.
And I think that was like a scripture that I memorized. Obviously, it didn't stick that much because I don't know where it's at, but. That was like a scripture that I memorized on my own just like when I was younger. And it just, I think, really stuck with me as somebody who values, I guess, just like truth and like black and white justice is like everything else could die and go away. But like the word of God will be something that we can stand on.
Yeah.
That's and really it just good. Feels like a really good reminder that like, I don't know, anything can wither away, but we'll always have that.
That's really good. I recently, on a midweek, spoke on truth, and I wish I had shared that verse now.
Yeah, I'm like getting annoyed that I don't know where it is. I want to say it's in Proverbs, but I could be wrong.
No, that's really good. That's really good.
What about you?
I have a couple. I have a couple that I like.
They're decent.
I like, and this one is, I think, is based on, so I'll say Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him.
Yeah.
So that you may overflow with hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. There are some verses I like just because they seem to have caught me at the right time in the right season.
Yeah.
And like really, you know, when you're reading scripture, sometimes you can read and you're just kind of reading and it's casual and it's nice.
Yeah.
But then sometimes something will hop off the page.
Yep.
And it like does something different to you.
Yeah.
And that's been one of those verses.
Yeah.
I also love Psalm 103. I think that's my favorite Psalm. It's the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Could you quote it all for us real quick?
I could.
Could to.
That's actually a pretty big flex.
I could if you want me to. I don't want to go through all that. Yeah.
Like, I'm getting nervous for you. Like, I know you're telling me you can do it, but I'm getting, like, I'm sweating thinking about you having to do that.
No, I could do it. I have it memorized, but I don't think we need to go
you're
through
like,
all that.
You're like, I
right
can do
now.
It, but I'm not
going to. Come on, guys. Don't make me do it.
Don't make me
quote scripture.
It is Isaiah 48, so I was way off.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But it says grass,
close to Proverbs.
The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Yeah.
Period.
No, I love that. All right, so on this episode, we're going to spend some time talking about application and interpretation of Scripture. And there are a few verses initially that kind of came to mind for each of us that we'll talk through. But before we actually get into specific verses, I know this has been mentioned, surely Noah's talked about this, and I think even on the podcast, but again, this idea that the Bible was not written to us, and that's really important because I think it can be easy to develop a lens through which we read scripture, assuming that it was written to me when it wasn't written to us. It was written for us.
Yeah.
And so that's a really big distinction that we need to make, that when reading scripture, when you're reading the New Testament, you're reading the epistles, you've got to understand that Paul had specific people who lived in a specific place at a specific time who were dealing with those specific things that he was addressing. And the scriptures are extremely applicable. And there's that verse, it's in, I want to say 1 Timothy, that like all scripture is God-breathed and it's all... So are you looking that up right now?
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
Get there. It's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you read that because I wouldn't have gotten all that right. So it wasn't written to us, but
right.
it is extremely helpful
yeah.
for us.
And I think even just the context of that verse makes you go, okay, well, all scripture is. So then,
yes.
you know, I'm looking at all scripture as if it's written specifically to me. If all scripture is meant to teach, then, okay, if it's written in the word, then it's written for me to learn from that. And
yeah.
so you go, okay, so I'll just name it and claim it. You know, any verse is meant for me to just apply to my life. But it's just not always the case.
Right. Know? Yeah. yeah. So let's get into a couple examples of how this could play out and how we've even maybe experienced some of this in our own life.
Yeah.
Abby, you've got one.
Well, I actually have a few now that I'm thinking okay. about it. I think Noah actually talked about this a couple weeks ago. The concept of train your child up in the way they should go and they won't depart.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just kind of those things that we've twisted into being these like promises, these like set things that the Lord, I don't know where we learned it, but that the Lord has almost like given us to stand on as a promise and a, mm-hmm. you know, and a for sure this is going to happen. If
yeah.
I, you know, and it's not the case.
Yeah.
yeah.
And we know tons of people who have trained their children up pretty well and they've departed.
yeah.
yeah.
From either the way that they've been raised or the way that they've, you know,
yeah.
or, Noah talked about this one too, the scripture of like honor your father and mother and you'll live long.
Yeah.
And ironically so, my dad is one of seven children
mm-hmm.
and the one out of seven of them that was the most honoring, who didn't party and do drugs and who was the most honoring to his parents and his grandparents, died first.
Yeah. yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and you read these scriptures and honestly, even like before we had conversations like this, I even thought about that. And I had conversations with my mom about that of like, that's so crazy that here we are, you know, he's passed away and he's like been the most faithful to honor
yeah.
his mother and father. And it's because we take these things that are like wisdom and guidance and helpful. It's like helpful tips, you know,
yeah.
yeah.
and we use them as these promises that we stand on.
Yeah.
And I think actually it leaves a lot of room for, obviously miscommunication and then disappointment. And mm-hmm. we kind of blame God for something he never
right.
told us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like not, and it's not to say that the Lord couldn't do that. It's not mm-hmm. to say that the Lord's not good. It's not to say that the Lord, isn't looking to prosper us and grow us and do all these things. But at the same time, we can kind of come back to God and be like, well, you said, and it's like, but you really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You actually didn't say that.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and I think it leaves a lot of room for disappointment. I think that's why even in the church, we experience a lot of church hurt as opposed to people who are lost and just don't know.
Sure.
We experience a lot of people who have come in the church, had an experience that's been quote unquote bad and left. And it's because they've actually never really dived into what actually means, you know, what
yeah.
this verse or what this thing actually means. And they leave kind of feeling empty because it's like, well, I, you know, I felt like the Lord promised me this or promised me that. And he didn't.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good distinction just to bring in Proverbs that it's, they aren't necessarily promises as much as their wisdom. Like those
yeah.
verses are like fantastic ways to live.
Yes. 100%. Yeah.
Highly recommend.
Yeah. 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 yeah Cause I think we would all, I mean, in an ideal world, our hope would be that we would honor our mother and father.
Yeah.
You know, that we would, you know, raise our children and train them up in a way that we would want them to go.
Yeah.
Just because that's not, and I think that's the hard part is sometimes, like for instance, in that specific verse, because we're talking about that, you know, a parent could train their child up in the way they should go and they would depart and they would go like, but I did it, but like I trained them up in a really, you know, good way and in yeah. a good manner. So does that mean like you wouldn't have done that if like you didn't think that
yeah.
that wasn't a promise? Like, you know what I mean? Like
sure.
to me, I think that the heart behind it and the motive behind it is going to be good whether they depart or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, whether my child grows up and decides to serve the Lord or not, I'm still going to raise her that way.
Yeah. yeah.
With the hopes that she will grow up and choose that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's not to say that it's like, well, if she's going to depart, like I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah. I'm not even going to try.
Yeah. I'm not even going to try. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
no, it's still the goal. It's still like the moral compass for how we should live because it's still the Bible.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's still the wisdom and
right.
guidance and truth of how we should do life.
Right.
And I do think, real quick, say one more thing.
Oh, you're good.
Just on that verse, I think it's worth noting too that it says, train up a child in the way they should go. And I think sometimes parents can get caught up training up a child in the way they want them to go.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the way that they were created to go.
Yeah.
And I think that could play out in the sense of like if I as a parent have a lot of like regret and I have a lot of like unlived dreams, mm-hmm. I could try to like raise my kid to force them to become the thing that I wish I was.
Right.
Yeah.
When maybe they weren't even, you know, born to do that. Maybe like the Lord has other plans for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the ironic thing is, I don't really remember my family ever speaking ministry over our lives.
Sure.
And my brother is a fourth generation, maybe fifth generation.
Yeah.
Like teacher.
Yeah.
Preacher. Person. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's crazy. And I don't ever feel like my parents raised us. I think we were raised to value the church and the importance of ministry
to be a part.
Because we saw the sacrifice that it took and we saw the, you know, what was had to be given to get there to do those things. But it was never like, all right, you know, it's like when you hear, which is, it's not a bad thing, but it's like when you hear like a family of like all like doctors or all like teachers or something.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like my great granddad was a doctor. Like I became a nurse.
Yeah.
My sister's a doctor. My brother's a nurse practitioner. You're like, whoa, like did you guys just all decide to like just keep doing it? Like that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a bad thing, but it's just, it's not something that I feel like was expected. And it's like you said, the goal should be to train them up in the way.
To learn who your kids are.
Yeah.
And like what their gifts and passions are. And then like push them towards those things.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think a challenging thing is when you approach scripture, there you have to accept the reality. And I know we've talked about this in a previous podcast, but you have to, in the life of a believer, you also have to hear certain scriptures that actually are promises and cope with the fact that it isn't always going to work out the way that you envision that verse playing out. So for instance, so Jesus himself says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. So I ask, God, heal my child. Child dies. How do you cope with that?
Yeah.
You know? And so it's an interesting thing with scripture because we have this relationship with it and there are in interpreting it and in figuring out how to apply it to your life, like, you also have to take certain things with an understanding that like my view of how this even a direct promise, how it should play out may not play out in the way that I want it to.
Yeah.
And that I think is one of the deepest wrestles as a believer is when things don't go the way that you think they should go.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that it's a promise in scripture or God spoke it or you've seen God do it for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the context we talked about it before is like with your book, you know, the goodness of God is not dependent on everything going the way that we view as good, you know? And I mean, it's like it's a hard thing to accept, but like healing could look like passing away and your healing is on the other side of, you know, eternity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a hard thing for us because we're so in the world. We're so in life and the immediate and the present and what's happening around us that it's hard for us to have an internal perspective on things that, it doesn't make a promise null and void if it doesn't go the way you think that promise should play out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think it's also hard. I don't think I've experienced this level of a lack of self-control until you have a kid and you realize that at the end of the day, like there's a gazillion things that are completely out of your hand that you just have to trust the Lord with and trust that the Lord's not going to do it the way that you would do it.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think that that's the confusion is we think that trusting in the Lord or serving the Lord means that everything's going to be good and right.
Right.
Trusting the Lord and serving the Lord is that you will be good and right and the Lord will be good and right even if nothing around you is.
Yes.
And that's a really hard place to get to because even in, you know, like the most random of things, there's moments where I'm like something as dumb as like a tornado coming or, you know, it's kind of those things where I'm like, Lord, like protect our house.
Yeah.
Like if you don't, bro, like it is what it is. Like, I guess I'll just go. You know what I mean? Like I'm declaring protection.
Yeah.
I'm declaring those things over my life. I'm trusting those things, but I also have to trust that the Lord is so much bigger than my Americanized understanding of promise and blessing and protection and safety and healing and, you know, all those things.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think what you guys are saying too brings up another important point. That when we're reading the Bible, and for those of you who were at midweek a couple weeks ago when Noah spoke on, he spoke on how to read the Bible and how to study it. And he brought up that there are a few different ways to go about doing that. There's the proper way, that's called exegesis, which is actually reading the text with the purpose of understanding what is actually being said.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
opposed to eisegesis, which is what a lot of people use, yeah. which is reading the scripture in hopes of making it say what you want it to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's really easy to slip into.
Yep.
And when you do that, especially like Abby, you just mentioned, we have like a very Americanized way of viewing things,
yeah.
thinking about things, even if it is like wealth or blessing or mm-hmm. prosperity or
yeah.
what it means for God to be good, yeah. what like a good life is.
Yeah.
It's easy to get sucked into thinking like, oh, that means I'm going to be rich and I'm going to have a nice house
right.
and everything's going to go well. My life yeah. will be comfortable and easy
yeah.
and all that. And, it's
and
like,
I'm going to be happy and skinny. Yeah. Pretty forever.
yeah. It's easy
I'll
to-
I'll never have to get Botox.
yeah. But it's like, but when you read scripture for the sake of understanding what it's saying, mm-hmm. there's nothing in there that points to that.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's actually the opposite. Like yeah. Jesus says, no, blessed are the ones, are the mm-hmm. poor in spirit.
Yeah.
Right. And he goes yeah. through the Beatitudes and it's like, he's defining what like blessing looks like.
Yeah.
And he's pointing to a group of people that you would never call blessed.
Yeah.
Right.
And he has this way of like inverting.
Yeah.
Like, no, there's actually more to this
yeah.
than you're assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always think back to the context of Jesus's life. So like, Jesus did exactly what the Father told him and showed him mm-hmm. his entire life. And part of that was being crucified.
Yeah.
So like yeah. when you think in the context of who we're called most to be like Jesus,
yeah. mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't have like a cush, easy, everything. I mean, like even in his ministry, like we read about the signs and the wonders and like these amazing things that he did, but like there was persecution, there was abandonment, even before the whole crucifixion and mm-hmm. everything that led up to it. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. I mean, hey, day one, he's born and they're like, hey,
yeah.
kill them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, mm-hmm. literally from yeah. the beginning,
yeah.
he's already had a hit on his head, like
right.
from the very start
yeah.
of the whole thing.
Right.
The first couple years of his life, mm-hmm. he's growing yeah. up. Just
on the run.
On the run.
Yeah.
yeah.
Just trying, his yeah. parents are trying to keep him alive.
Yeah.
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 And I think it's a crazy thought when you're just talking about like kind of what Noah was talking about a couple weeks ago, studying the Bible. Cause like I would never go to a Barnes and Nobles and just like pick up a book, not read the synopsis and buy it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like yeah. I'd never yeah. go to a bookstore and just like pick up four or five books and people be like, what are those about? Have no idea.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm buying them.
Because
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I want to read them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but for whatever reason, when we pick up the Bible, we don't ever think that. We think, you know what I mean? We don't have that thing of like, it would be crazy for me to open this book and not know what I'm getting into.
Yeah.
But we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But specifically with the Bible, like it's okay. It's yeah. not weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would go to a Barnes and Nobles and I wouldn't buy a book if I hadn't read the back of it or known what
yeah.
it was about or
right.
what the context was or what, you know, was it a thriller? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Could yeah. be a horror book, but I just grabbed it. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you also probably wouldn't buy a novel and open it up to like chapter 15.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
you know?
I literally read yeah. it backwards.
You're going to want the full scope of the story.
Yeah. yeah. I wake yeah. up one yeah. morning and just read like a couple pages from like the 50% mark. I'm like,
yeah.
this book is crazy. Why are people reading this? It doesn't even make
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like yeah. with the Bible, that's so acceptable. And I think that's one of the reasons why I feel like over the last little while, it's awakened a passion, like a passion for the Bible in mm-hmm. our community, like as a whole, because I think you do realize even just growing up as a kid, how much I didn't enjoy the Bible just because I didn't know.
Yes.
And it was mm-hmm. so acceptable to read the Bible and not know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not even, I don't even think that was like an intentional thing. I
yeah.
just think it was kind of those things like, yeah, none of us really
yeah.
do.
Well, I
hey,
think
just
yeah.
join the club. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think as a Christian, you go, well, I know I should read my Bible.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you don't know how, you don't know why.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing.
And it felt kind of honorable to be like, I'm reading and
yeah,
I don't 100%. Even know what I'm reading, but I'm just being faithful
yeah.
to God.
Yeah. yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's like,
exactly.
what? Why did we, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
yeah.
And
it's
I think
true.
Even just the big picture of scripture too, it makes each thing that you're reading have a lot more depth and meaning and application when
yeah.
you realize like this obscure story that's happening in Numbers seems boring or irrelevant, but when it ties to something that happened way back in, you know, Deuteronomy or the end of Exodus, and then it gives you a picture of what Jesus looks like,
yeah.
and it shows you a picture of why the early church does blank. So like there's
yeah.
so much in the big picture of scripture that like, if you don't ever commit to getting in a lot of it or learning in some way or another, like you're missing out on the beauty of the whole picture of scripture. You
yeah.
know?
Or
picture
no,
of scripture. Ooh.
Picture of scripture.
Man,
hey, somebody
okay.
hashtag that. Noah and I were talking about this too, because in 2020, like we were both living at home. We'd both moved back and I would just read scripture and come in to his room and be like, I hate everything that's going on. And Job was like one of those things that like I had a really hard time just like grappling with or understanding, because I innately have a struggle or had a struggle with just seeing the Lord as like just harsh and just like beckoning us for poverty and pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like reading Job was like, yep, see, told you, it's supposed to be horrible. We're all supposed to die. And Noah was talking about not long ago, he was listening to somebody and they were talking about how Job actually wasn't really like, there's no opening in Job about like the son of so-and-so and the daughter, you know, like there's, he could not even really be a real person. And he was saying how it's actually could be like almost like poetic imagery to like a framework of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when you read it like that, not to say that that is or isn't what it's about, but when you do read it like that, you kind of go like, whoa, like, yeah, like this is crazy. Like Satan's going to, you know, God and saying like, I don't think that this man is as faithful as you think he is. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it from that lens with Jesus and you watch Job be faithful when everybody around him is telling him not to be faithful.
Yeah.
It's like that to me hits even harder than just reading it and being like, okay, so he's going to kill my family.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's, I see a ton of people on like Instagram. And I
Instagram.
what a world.
What a place to read scripture.
But I have certain people, not necessarily that I follow, but that just keep seeming to come up. And I'm interested in what they have to say. Not because I agree with them, but because I'm just always curious about like how people think and how people come to the conclusions they come to.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how many people will argue with you about like the nature and the reality of God.
Yeah.
But they're only familiar with the Old Testament.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really easy thing to slip into, is not understanding like, well, the Old Testament has to be understood now through the lens of the New Testament.
Yeah.
And you have to, if you don't know that Jesus was actually there to reveal the real character of the Father.
Yeah.
If you can't find it in Jesus, then you're probably misunderstanding what's, you know, what's happening in the Old Testament.
That, and something that I feel like I have a really hard time with, it's not to say that I don't value it. I value like heavy revy, you know, I value those moments. I've been in services before where people have taught out of a book and, you know, brought some like really deep understanding to like a story, whether it was the prodigal son or something. And, you know, did you know that this means this? You know, like, and I love that. And I don't doubt that that's not amazing. However, I was on Instagram and there was this girl, and it wasn't what she was saying wasn't bad, but she was just talking about how like the story of Noah's Ark, like actually like, and I'm going to butcher her interpretation of it, but it was like, the rainbow was actually like a symbolic thing of actually like an arrow, and how like when David defeated Goliath, like Goliath's arrow was shaped like a, it was like this whole big thing. And it actually like even seemed pretty biblically sound, just about how like the Lord actually like reversed the rain, like the rainbow. And so the way it looked meant that it wasn't war anymore. It was peace. Anyway, so she like just brought this big thing and it was about how, and I'm like, that's amazing. But also, isn't it just pretty crazy that the Lord put colors in the sky for them? Like, isn't that enough? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm always asking the Lord in my own life, like, please don't let me get so numb to actually the things that you've done that are great as they are and try to like look for like, what's the better thing you've done in this? Because the story in itself is good enough.
Yeah.
The fact that the Lord even told Noah about it and didn't just kill all of them.
Yeah.
Not to say that you can't go looking for those like heavy revies, but like, to me, like it's good enough.
Yeah.
It's good enough that Jesus died.
Yeah.
Can I look for things in the cross or in the story? Like, yes, but like, hey, like that's a pretty big deal. Like, I feel like sometimes we get so, I feel like specifically people in leadership or ministry, like when you are in those positions, it's easy to go into the Bible and feel the pressure to like find these deep things, you know, like I want to find this deep truth that nobody's discovered about the prodigal son or like something, you know? And sometimes there's this reality of like, or you could just know the story.
Yeah.
Like what if just the father...
What if you just knew the story, like the whole thing through?
Yeah.
You
like,
know what I mean?
If just like the kindness of the father in that story, what if that was enough to change you?
To change you, yeah. And like, I think my own prayer has been like, keep my heart just really tender to just like the reality that you're so much kinder than what I would be if I was God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's so much truth and value in just what is... there. Not to say again that you can't go search out these deeper meanings.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we don't see the Bible as enough. Like mm-hmm. we can read these stories and it can be enough. Because yeah. I think mm-hmm. when you start to get into the Bible, you can feel that pressure to like find all these things.
Yeah.
It's like, no, the story of Noah's Ark is pretty just crazy on its own.
Yeah.
Whether it was real or not real, like it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like whatever the case may be, like that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If that was real, they never really saw color probably in the sky until yeah. that day.
Yeah.
That'd sure. be pretty wacko.
Yeah. yeah.
Rainbows are cool for us because we yeah. see them all the time or yeah. whatever the case may be. Yeah. Like yeah. David and Goliath or mm-hmm. yeah. like he was a tiny man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's crazy
just
enough.
A little fella.
Yeah. He's yeah. a little fella. Little short king.
yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, in trying to properly interpret scripture, I think that piece that is the character of God is a very important thing when you're reading like a verse we brought up earlier when we were talking in Jeremiah 29:11. So this is something that was specifically said to Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can go, okay, well, he promised it to him, but it's in scripture. So he promised it to me. When I think in an instance where God is speaking something specifically to a person, I think the key there is actually just the character of God.
Mm.
Sure.
So he may not have said that specifically to me. He said that to Jeremiah, mm-hmm. but it does point to the character of God.
Yeah.
God wants good things for us. God does have plans for us, mm-hmm. you know? And I think in scripture, like we forget that like the people who wrote it and the people, you know, who are giving their stories and their accounts and everything, we're real people.
Yeah.
Just like we're real people. So yeah. they wrote down things that God said to them. And how weird would it be if, you know, Crystal Christian pulled you aside during worship and said, hey, I have a word for you, and you wrote it down, and then for the next 100 years, people were reading your account going, well, that thing that God said to, you know, Abby, mm-hmm. it was actually to me too.
Mm-hmm.
And but that is what we do with scripture. And
yeah.
so, like, when you think about it in those more realistic terms where it's like, okay, wait, like, Jeremiah's a real person, or,
yeah.
you know, any of these other promises that mm-hmm. were spoken to specific people or things that they were told to do, we go, okay, if God told them to do it, then he must be telling me to do it now in my time. How do I contextualize and do it? But like, you have to have like a little bit of level-headedness to go, mm-hmm. okay, well also like maybe this actually just points to the character of God, which is the same then as it is now. And the same way he feels about other people, he feels about me because Jeremiah was a son, I'm a son, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like I think it's a more appropriate way to view different promises and things that were written and said to people from the Lord in scripture is to go, okay, what does that actually just tell me about who God is in my life? Rather than saying he promised it to them, so that promise just equals for me,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, and I think that's the importance of relational equity with Jesus as much as biblical understanding. I think that when we don't have the active, consistency with the Holy Spirit, it can make things like that so much difficult, like so much more difficult for us. Mm-hmm. I think having relational equity with the Lord is what helps that process. Like mm-hmm. I've said this before in other podcasts, like people who don't believe that the Holy Spirit's active, like kudos to you, bro. I don't know how you're doing it. You know what I mean? Because I think that those are those moments where the Lord speaks something and it's like, that's amazing. It's like when people use that verse about Esther, like you were born for such a time as this. No, you weren't. You were just born. No, you weren't. You were born. And that's like, yeah, that's true, I guess. Yeah, you were born for such a time as this, but like, there's so much more that the Lord is probably wanting to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know sure. what I'm saying? And like that to me, like if we're not careful, we can take those things mm-hmm. and actually miss out on what the Lord's actually wanting to tell us
yeah.
and wanting to promise us and wanting right. to do in our lives, you know?
Yeah.
You know
and
what I mean?
That even like points me back to what Noah was saying this past Sunday, talking about like unity in the body of Christ and how like mm-hmm. people need to know what role they're meant to play.
Yeah.
So it's like when I think about that verse in Esther, it's like, yes, okay, it's true that I was born in yeah. the time I was meant to be born in the place I was meant to be born in.
100%.
But not so that I could be like Esther yeah. necessarily,
yeah.
but more so that like I could play the role that I am meant to play.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And I think too, I think there's like, there's the sense of like pulling out meaning mm-hmm. in scripture from the immediate context.
Yeah.
So going back to like even Jeremiah 29:11, yeah. there's the immediate context that
yeah.
the Israelites were in captivity.
Yeah.
And the Lord was speaking to that situation. But then if you look at like the biblical context as mm-hmm. a whole, kind of like you were saying,
yeah.
you can ask the question, well, like how does this relate to the Bible as a whole?
Right.
And you can see, oh, this is a biblical theme
yeah.
of
yes.
the Lord is like releasing captives.
Yes.
Like that's kind of the whole thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And so then you can ask the question, okay, well, what does that mean right. for me today?
Right.
Yeah, because I had to break it to you guys. I'm not born for war.
That shocks me.
I am not doing that.
This may you be always shocking seem ready to fight. I don't know.
Believe it or not, Abby, I think I'm right there with you. I'm more of a podcaster.
Believe it or not, I don't think either of us were born for such a time as this. yeah, like, and that's, yeah. I think that's the thing is like, you can start to get into this confusion because then you start getting into this thing of like, I was born for such a time of this because I'm a warrior of God. Like, you know what I mean? People yeah. start adding these layers of things over their lives that it's like, yes, that can be true, but like, get with the Holy Spirit and yeah. ask the Holy Spirit the promises for your life and the things yeah. that he has for you. And then read the Bible too.
Yeah.
yeah. You know, and there could like, be a cross in between there. The Holy Spirit yeah. can do both, but. Yeah.
I do think too, it teaches us the kind of things that God says to his people. You know, there's mm-hmm. that context. So like, I don't think it would be a far-fetched thing to go, okay, I'm reading the story of Esther and I am at a pivotal place in my life where I feel like I'm being placed yeah. in front of influential people.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, I feel like I'm reading this on purpose. Like, I feel like the Lord has me in this scripture for a reason right now. And in the same way that he used Esther, you know, I start praying into that concept yes. going, okay, God, like you did this with Esther. Can you use me in a similar way? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like you're putting me in front of people that,
yeah.
that could really benefit, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, yeah. it breaks down, but
100%.
I'm saying like, I think you can take those things and go, these are the kind of things that God says to people he uses. And so it's not far-fetched to think that I sense the Holy Spirit leading me in the same way or speaking to me in the same way. But yeah. the error is when you go, he spoke it to Esther, so he is speaking it to me.
Sure.
That's yeah. the error.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Or the thing is, like, I think sometimes the dangers we get into is, it's like you said, that can 100% be the case, but we went through a season of life in the church where, like, everybody had a Jezebel spirit.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And I was like, I don't know where Jezebel yeah. is, but for the love of all that's good, can we tell yeah. Jezebel to go sit down? Like, everybody, yeah. some girl sneezed in church and she had Jezebel spirit. Like yeah. there's probably, I hate to break to you guys, there's probably a lot of other spirits out there.
Sure.
Jezebel's not like the main chick.
Yeah.
She's not the main girl rolling around here. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, yeah. you know, and it's yeah. like, that's the hard part is I think sometimes we can take something. And again, it's not to say that the Lord isn't using that or there's not seasonal things or themes. Like, I feel like as a church, I just saw a girl the other day on her Instagram that doesn't live anywhere near here talk about how her church is going through the book of Ephesians right now.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, that's so crazy. Like, yeah, like that's so weird. Like, we're all going, you know, so yeah. like, it's not to say that the Lord can't do something corporately right. in the Big C church or things like that. Mm-hmm. It's just to say, like, if we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit, like, we'll just take things and run with them.
Yeah.
And then people who don't know scripture will also grab onto those yeah, things yeah. and then take them out sure. of right. context. And then
right.
we get Hobby Lobby. Again, which isn't bad.
Yeah.
But you know what yeah. I mean? Yeah. Like, we yeah. just get, we take these things and we just run with them.
Yeah.
And then people who aren't reading the Bible are also taking those things and going like, well, that's what the Lord said.
Right.
It's like, mm-hmm. he didn't even say that.
Yeah.
That was yeah. Matthew or that was whoever. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. 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 So yeah, study your Bible.
Read your Bible. Read some books.
Get to know the context in which it was written.
Yeah.
And don't try to read the Bible to make it say what you want it to say. Read the Bible to know what it actually says yeah. and then ask the question, well, what does this mean for me today? How does yeah. that apply to my life?
Period.
Good.
Great.
All right. Stephen, Abby, it's a pleasure.
It's been great.
Appreciate you guys.
It's our pleasure to serve you. Like I'm a Chick-fil-A.
Okay. And to everybody listening, thank you so much and we love you all and we'll see you next time.